This is an article that McLuhan wrote in 1968 for a magazine in Toronto called This Magazine is About Schools. Okay, so it was an many people were trying to reform education in the 60s. They knew that the book and what was happening wasn't working, so there were a lot of alternative schools built.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Minimax, Brian went to the SEED program in Toronto. That was the alternative schools, were mm-hmm. sort of built on the Summerhill School in England.
Uh-huh.
A lot more freedom.
Yeah.
So This Magazine is About Schools was a magazine dealing with that. It was like a new industry. Well, they dropped the is about schools, and it just became this magazine in the 80s, and they're the one that interviewed you and I, and we were in 1992 about. I got to take a drink just a minute.
Here's water right here.
So that's a dramatic pause.
Mm-hmm.
And the resonant interval. Mm-hmm. So McLuhan, in an early issue of This Magazine is About Schools, did an article in 1968 called Adopt a College.
Your microphone changed places.
What's that mean?
I don't hear you as loudly as I was.
Oh, why did I put this down?
To drink.
Oh, yeah. See, can't even remember the immediate present. So we're going to go into this, and this will be at the end. There's a few people here ready to talk, I assume. And but before we let them in, let's just go to this part. So do I have to make – I can read it. So the article was introduced with this statement. Adopt a College was a advertisement where colleges were looking for university presidents.
Uh-huh.
Like, they were finding it hard to find people in the riotous university atmosphere for its day of the 60s, you know, tame compared to now. But they were looking for presidents or executives to come and be president and adopt a college, like a kid, right?
Yeah.
So McLuhan says, the title of this essay is the theme of an advertisement in a current magazine. There are hundreds of colleges and universities in America today that cannot obtain a president at any price. So he goes into, well, I'll just read the first part. I'm not reading the whole article, but he says, one strategy for encountering the new student curiosity and intrusiveness, like having teach-ins, I'm adding that part, one strategy for encountering the new student curiosity and intrusiveness regarding the conduct of schools and colleges could be called judo. So he's going to recommend a judo-like strategy. Instead of listening to these students' grievances concerning the form of education which they consider sterile and distasteful, instead of allowing them, the students, to get a foot in the door and find a place in some of the many committees, they could simply be invited into the schools en masse. Okay? So this is what he's proposing to Trudeau, to Claude Bissell, the president of the University of Toronto, and anybody else who would listen, to all the executives who are trying to tetrad manage crudely the world. They were never as good as the CIA. He's saying, okay, we got a real problem. All these students want to take over the schools and make the schools in their image. And McLuhan said they'll just end up in many committees, end up stuck in the bureaucracy. So he says, let's bypass this with this suggestion. He says to the students as they raid the university because they think they're going to take over, Carol.
Yeah.
Here's what he says.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, addressing the students, it's all yours. The entire administration and staff will take a sabbatical. You can rearrange the entire curriculum and teaching procedures in any way you see fit. We will continue to draw our checks. You will receive nothing. On the other hand, you will be charged nothing. This will be free education. During the year that lies ahead, you will have full opportunity to acquaint yourselves with the functions of a university or a high school, both past and present. Then he says, the present educational arrangements are indeed hardware, which is what the students are objecting to, inherited from earlier centuries. Then I got to go to the next page. Most of this hardware is of 19th century vintage, but phonetic literacy and mathematics date mostly from the 5th century Athens. It is this hardware that you regard naturally as the enemy, because you live unconsciously in a new environment of electric software or information. This new environment has eliminated your identity image. See, he's telling these students why they want to take over. As any new environment does with any individual or group, new environments are always invisible. It is the preceding environment that is always blamed for the damage done by the new one. Then he goes into the history of education, going from Plato to the Gutenberg phase, you know, runs through a history of the Gutenberg galaxy, basically. And, okay, let me just click this just a second and put that back there. And that goes there. And then page 3, he keeps going on. I'll just read in the middle a section. He says, the next 2,500 years after Plato, so that's 500 B.C., saw many variations on the Platonic program of individual enterprise and education. There grew up, especially in Roman times, the concept of eloquence as wisdom. The doctus orator was a new concept, developed by Cicero especially, and translated to the Middle Ages and the Renaissance by St. Augustine, who was one of the greatest orators of his time in this learned sense. The ideal of eloquence as a learned wisdom was inseparable from, and he gives a phrase, Iguklios paideia. Remember we read the pound word paideia? Yeah, so that's defined as, I guess that's Latin, for encyclopedia, the circle of the sciences. Then he says, it was this conception of the integral nature of knowledge as a total field that led to the program called the Trivium and the Quadrivium. That's what McLuhan did his PhD on, at least on the Trivium. In effect, this program persisted until the Renaissance, when it blossomed as never before. Printing gave much greater access to the Encyclopedia of the Arts and Sciences than the written word had been able to do. The program continued in England and Europe well into the 18th century. That's the Trivium and Quadrivium. Gradually, however, new scientific knowledge created specialisms that broke up the unity of the encyclopedic ideal of the Trivium and Quadrivium. Even in the 19th century, the scientists shared a classical training with their colleagues in the arts, so they were a bit had humanistic knowledge, and there persists today in the sciences a preference for Greek terminology that does not reflect any philological or philological competence. See, he's explaining why all these stupid Latin words in biology. The educational establishment built around the concept of encyclopedic wisdom naturally depended upon writing or hardware. The old establishment that Plato attacked was preliterate software. That was the oral Homeric culture. It had been oral and communal and kind of showbiz before Greece. Rome and medieval education depended much more on hardware, on writing and paper and parchment. It also depended on travel and transportation of these materials as opposed to Plato's day. Plato and Aristotle had developed their universities on the idea of the static city-state. The Romans and medieval ideal had been more mobile and federal. Then he jumps to the present. Today, with the coming of the new electric software, both time and space have disappeared. See, there's your chemical body, Carol. Remember, Ion says that. McLuhan was saying that back in the 50s. Today, with the coming of the new electric software, both time and space have disappeared so far as access to information is concerned. We can learn about any period anywhere in the world. Moreover, software tends to be post-literate. Electric images easily supplant the printed hardware. The instamatic character of these images destroys goal orientation in education. Specialism and private directions for private careers quickly lose their relevance and confuse the vision and energies of all participants in the existing educational and commercial structures alike. The military establishment is even more confused by a technology that permits total civilian participation in all military enterprises. In other words, they got mad that everybody protested Vietnam because they didn't notice that Vietnam was fought in everybody's living room. They're still living in the 19th century in their military goals. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, so he's just summing up what some of the electric effects are. And then he says to the students who are now entering the university so they can take it over, right?
Yeah.
Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we are turning over the educational establishment to you at a time that is more transitional than any other encountered in any phase of human history. You have lost your sense of identity. You blame the old hardware because you cannot see the new surroundings, or perivallo, Latin or Greek word, that has numbed your faculties. They've been numbed by the new environment. So they think the new environment is the old environment, and they don't think it's being run right, so they want to go take over the old hardware environment and run it correctly underneath the impetus of the tribalism, okay? New electric neo-tribalism. So McLuhan is warning them. It may be of some use to you to know that the educational budget of big industry and the armed services is 20 to 30 times that of the communal education budget. There are many more highly trained minds at such places as General Electric, IBM, General Motors, and AT&T, and on Madison Avenue than there are on all our campuses put together. These men are loaded with guilt feelings. Now, guilt is spelled G-I-L-T. That means they are in their glamorous, Trump-like executive suites, the gilded cage.
Gold and silver.
Yeah, gold and silver cages, isolated from the world in their million-dollar salaries, and they want to get involved because the global membrane makes everybody want to get involved. So McLuhan says all these executives, rich executives, want to get into education. I think he's going to say here, hey, students, don't go bring in any of these old professors here. They're obsolete. Get these executives if you want to talk to anybody, if you dare to listen. So he says, these men are smarter than anybody on all the campuses put together. These men are loaded with guilt feelings. They are also bored. Now, he's saying this right in front of these executives. This is being said to educational committees, teachers' associations. McLuhan's telling them how they're so obsolete they are. I mean, he told Trudeau, just open the universities and let the kids come in and just bullshit. Just talk and have bullshit sessions. But he's being a little more programmed here. He says, we're going to do it for a year. But if you want to have some interesting co-bullshitters, bring in the executives from the industries who are, he says, are bored, and they would love to get back onto a university campus or into a high school where they could become involved in sharing the learning process with students. Now, this is also McLuhan being a satirist. This is the Lolita syndrome. All these executives have dumped their wives, and they want to get access to these young girls who are giving it away for free, obsolescing the call girl, as Ion says. But he's not going to be that blatant, but they want to become involved in sharing the learning process with students. And a lot of these guys did that. Okay, they went back, since they couldn't take over and learn the way that McLuhan wanted, they went back to school and hung out and took courses on stupid stuff, became craftsmen and ceramics to meet young people who were incredibly irresponsible in the way they used their bodies, not to be ignored. So he says to the students, since you will receive no money for your educational efforts in this experimental year and will have no budget to hire staff, you may find it exciting to enlist the volunteer services of this vast, unacknowledged body of learned men who created the new software environment that has eliminated your sense of identity. So he's telling them to bring in the enemy that fucked up their literate world so they can't have just be agitated, caught in a void between a world that has died and a world that can't be born, is what he said about students in the 60s. So why not bring in the CIA guys who irresponsibly caused this technological identity crisis? Reading it again. Since you will receive no money for your educational efforts in this experimental year, and you will have no budget to hire Elena Lamberti and Lance Strait and all the Media College Association, you may find it exciting to enlist the volunteer service of the vast unacknowledged body of learned men from the Secret Council 10, led by Bob Dobbs, who have created this new software environment, or IONDOM environment, that has eliminated your sense of identity. For it is this, back to the 60s, we're not going into the IONDOM effect here yet, for it is the loss of identity in the 60s that inspires violence. He has violence in quotes. Your struggles, because they're being violent, even though they think they're expanding their awareness, they're actually being environment, because they're somnambulists, not understanding where their pain's coming from. Your struggles have no goals. Not one of you could articulate a single objective for all your unrest and uncertainty. Without knowing it, you are questing for a new identity which cannot be private and which cannot be known until it has actually been made. You are questing for a new identity which cannot be private and which cannot be known until it has actually been made. We, meaning the old fogies who fought World War II, right? All the guys born in the teens and 20s and 30s, we will now retire from the scene for 1 year, leaving the reshaping of it to your splendid energies. A year from now, we shall inspect the fruit of your endeavors with the most benign curiosity. It has often been said that every breakdown is a breakthrough. We have broken down. The breakthrough is all yours. Good luck. So he's appealing to his buddies who have to, if they're honest, give up. So he's taking one last swipe at the students who unconsciously motivated some of them to go take over institutions and really get in trouble with them among themselves. So you know what they did? The students along dropped out, went into rock, went into communes, went all over the place, became wandering gypsy scholars in a global international motley, McLuhan called them, trying to find out what to fit in. And if they're lucky, they ended up at Andy Warhol's factory, and like Joe Alessandro, I think that was his name, you know, became a porn star in Andy Warhol movies. Or like Candy, whatever those Warhol superstar girls were. And they all became junkies and died, right? See? So it's pretty dangerous out there in the corporate jungle. And the CIA is just taking over the drug trade at that point. So he says, good luck. Then he speaks to the assembled men that he's urging them to give this stuff to the kids, right? He says, such a judo move. Remember he mentioned the new strategy of judo? Let the kids run in and let them fall into the, that's judo, right? They let you take a swipe at you. You let them take a swipe at you and then they fall into the swipe. Mm-hmm. You step aside. So, you stoop to conquer. So, he's saying that all that he's offering the students, this whole year of running the education system, is a judo move. He says, such a judo move requiring total participation of the dissatisfied students in a creative enterprise might produce some amazing and permanently valuable results. Not saying it will, but it might. It would certainly be a very, this is a very great, great ending statement. It would certainly be a very wasteful enterprise in many respects. It's going to be a waste of time, but he says, but that would not be new. But that would not be new. In other words, it's already a wasteful fucking enterprise. Nobody's getting properly educated in any ways. Remember, he suggested back in the 40s, if you want to turn them off the pop culture they're into, the advertising movies and that, and radio music, test them on it. Don't test them on Shakespeare, and they'll rebel against this stuff because you're testing on it, and they'll start reading Shakespeare, if that's what you really want. So anyways, he's saying it's already a waste. And if we allow this program, yes, there'll be a lot of ridiculous spastic situations, but it won't be as wasteful as the organized society of the educational department right now. So, isn't that an incredible statement? Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, so, I hope Reiner's listening to that.